The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Welcome to this very special episode of My Brother and Me. It's our Grammy Awards 2014 special. My name is Justin McElroy.
My name is Travis McElroy.
My name is Griffin McElroy.
And I
know
have
that sounded weird, but I'm just so excited.
I know. I've got Grammy fever. Tonight we are going to be honoring some amazing achievement in the arts of butterscotch cookie making, of ribbon candy placement.
Cheek kisses.
Hair
tassels.
Biggest purses.
Oversized sweaters bought.
Most uncomfortable fabrics.
Weirdest smelling quilts.
Weirdest smelling hair.
House.
Yeah, just a lot of weird. There's seven
a lot of weird
categories.
Stale
sort of like
bread.
Okay. Well, that seems a little hateful.
Most of, you know, the problem with the weird smell categories is most of them are handled off camera. We don't even get to see those. They have like a special sub ceremony that, like,
these awards were presented by Tom Wopat at a separate event.
It's always Tom Wopat too. That's his hell. That's his he did something and that's his punishment.
He did something really bad. Guys, what Grammys are you most excited about tonight? Where do you think the hot contingent's going to be?
I think it's going to be most spangly dressed.
Spanglishly dressed? Is that?
Well, who's dressing with the most spangles? Who's got the most you know, what am I looking for here? Sequins.
Okay, Travis sequins. Is making a play for the most confused category. Sorry, Travis, but that award has actually already been handed out by Mr. Wopat.
How about
congratulations to Darlene Mecklen, age 73.
You really went for it this year. You have no idea why you get to hang out with Tom Wopat every year.
I think my favorite thing about the Grammys is, unlike other award shows, it airs at like 3:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's really nice because you can finish the whole award show and still have an early dinner. And boy, you thought Jacqueline Bisset took a long time to get to the stage during the Golden Globes. You ain't seen nothing yet. Every procession to the stage lasts at least 20 to 25 minutes.
And it's like a race to who can get up there before they start playing the get off the fucking stage meemaw music.
It's never happened, but I hope to someday hear a meemaw deliver a speech.
Yeah. Someone's going to get up. Someone's going to train for that. And she's going to get up there like right as the music starts and be like, nope, booyah, and then walk away. And
she my favorite. I'm really looking forward to the performance. I heard that this year there's going to be a meemaw reading some Dr. Seuss.
I'm really excited about it. That's going to be really nice.
Why is she doing that?
She's doing the first half of The Places You'll Go to her six-year-old grandson.
I like that. That's not funny. It's just nice.
Yeah. The weird thing is it won't be mic'd, so you won't be able to hear it.
Okay. Let's shoot for just nice this episode.
Okay. You know what the bummer about the Grammys is, actually, though? Is that still Meryl Streep always wins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She doesn't even have grandkids.
Also the in memoriam reel lasts like 3 hours.
Yeah, it's 3 hours long. Okay, this is a comedy advice.
And they have to add some people in from the beginning of the award show, like people that were on the red carpet and are now in the video.
That year that H1N1 was really bad, it actually wouldn't stop. They had to just cancel the show because
they just kind of leave it on in the background as they present all the awards.
Man, H1N1 took a lot of grandmas from us. Anyway, let's start with the show. Let's get on with the comedy jokes. Man, that flu just fucking devastated our old people population.
Speaking of Grammy fever.
Man, they all drowned to death on their own mucus. Anyway, let's go ahead and get it rolling. Big wheel, keep on turning.
Jokes and jokes and jokes.
that swine flu canceled a lot of Disneyland trips. Let's get this ball rolling. Whee! Pack up the car, kids. We're going to Comedy Town. Grandma's not coming because she did the swine flu. Fuck, man. Wow. Yeah, a lot of them.
We could have talked about Bieber. I tried to tell you we should have talked about Bieber.
No. Let's talk about this devastating flu. Raise your hand if your grandma died in 2009. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everyone, I guess.
Oh, I'm sorry, grandmothers.
I've got a coworker who's a complete idiot. Nice guy, but total moron who's completely unable to perform even the smallest task on her own.
Sorry. What's wrong? You still laughing about that swine flu?
You still
think
about dead grannies.
There's nothing funny about it.
He says laughing.
So the coworker's an asshole, and once in a while they'll do something stupid, and everybody will fix it for him and say something like, "I hope I didn't just look too stupid." And our question asker tries to make him feel better about himself, but he's getting tired of it, and he's trying to find a balance between supportive and, you know, making him feel dumb. Doesn't want to be a jerk, but it's something even his 11-year-old could figure out. That's from Overly Supportive in Ohio. I paraphrase there because it's a long question, but you get the gist.
Well, he's playing you.
Oh, this is one of those you mow the lawn shitty one time, your dad won't ask you to do it anymore type situations.
And even better, because then he finishes it by going, "I hope I didn't look stupid." And everyone's going, No, you did great.
You're my big office worker boy.
You mowed your basketball number into our front yard. So in terms of completion, not great, but you expressed yourself, and that's really matters.
You think he's on the grift?
I think everyone's on the grift, but I think this person is on the grift spectrum, like leaning super hard into it.
So is the response not to try to correct this person, but somehow make yourself appear less capable than this person is? So could you go stride into the boss's office, deliver the big report,
and then once you set it
on his desk, you just dump a bucket of soapy water on it and go like, "Oop, did I do that?"
I wanted to clean it.
I cleaned up your hard drive, boss, and then you pour soapy water on his hard drive.
Is it possible that your coworker is an 11-year-old who has been bigged into an adult body?
Oh, that is always, always your first inclination. And you know what? It's a good one because you're right most of the time.
You're right most of the time.
So here's what you need to do. You just corner me and you say, like, "Joshua, I know what's happened, and we can fix this together.
I know where there's a Zoltan machine.
We'll get to
me.
And we'll do the thing. And let's do a secret handshake to prove that I know you're a kid."
Yeah.
Here, take this adult go-gurt. And then you hand him an adult go-gurt.
I think it's just Activia. I think it's just Activia, Griffin.
I wish they would make, like, I love food in tubes, but I don't want all that colorful packaging. I wish they had something a little more upscale, a little classier, maybe leather bound.
I drink those yogurt smoothies because they have all the probiotics that my gurgle guts need, but I don't get to squeeze it. I don't get to, like, force it into my... I don't get to, like, recreate the peristalsis of an intestine as I just like splooch the food glop into my mouth hole.
What if this guy has Jack disease?
Oh, what if he has combination Jack disease and big-itis?
No, it's fine. I'm gonna look like this in a couple years anyway.
No, it's okay. So every 1 year I do 8, but then I also had to skip like 9 through 36. So like kind of a raw deal I'm getting here.
I'm basically 2.
I'm basically 2 years old is what I'm. I wasn't born yesterday. I was born last Thursday. I do have Jack and Big. So
yeah, I still have like a little bit of umbilical stubble down there.
But it's okay because I also have Benny Button. So hold on, let me figure this out. Born at 2, skip to 10, skip to 36. I will be 45 next week, and then 28 the week after that? Yeah, I think I figured that out. Basically, the Highlander is so...
Look for that question on the SATs someday soon. I mean, if someone is going to be a screw up and you're not their superior, I think you just kind of have to lump it. I mean,
no, Justin, you are wrong, and I'll tell you why. Everybody's covered.
Well, at least I got to state my whole point.
Yeah.
Before you disagree with it. I can tell you weighed all the pluses, Justin, and minuses.
Justin, you sounded like you were about to be wrong.
The problem is everybody's covering for the guy.
I didn't have a point either. Yeah, I mean, yes, but
like I understand that somewhere. It's like you want to do it because you're like you're not a terrible human being. You don't want to see this person fail. But at the same time, like I every time that you fix it for him without attention being brought to it, you're not helping the dude because it sounds like he's not capable of doing this job.
Yeah, but you are helping the dude. If by definition of helping the dude, you're covering his tracks constantly.
That's what help is.
Making it so he never gets busted.
But what if he regresses rapidly and people are like, you know, his boss who doesn't know any of this just sees the work he does and is like, oh, okay, everything's turning out well. Promotion. And then he runs that business into the ground and 100,000 people are laid off.
I think the best
solution. This is a big business. What kind of overhead does this 100,000 employee business have?
They make adult go-gurt.
They're the Illuminati.
Griffin, everybody has to help him run all of the conspiracies.
Maybe the solution is somewhere in the middle of telling him what's wrong about it, but making him make the corrections. Because that's probably the best way of helping him to learn. And also, you're not going to have to do the work for him. Because I feel like after you explain to him what the mistake is and have him correct it himself, then he has to sort of be responsible for his own product.
But I also would say, do you really want to be the George to this dude's Lenny for the rest of the time that he works there?
If it does culminate in an assassination, then this
is probably not something you want to be a part of.
Yeah, definitely not.
You guys want a Yahoo?
Please.
This Yahoo was sent in by Alan Black. Thanks, Alan. It's by Yahoo Answers user Taylor B, who asks, has anybody been to the Guy Fieri show? If you have, is it appropriate for younger children?
No.
My daughter is a huge fan of him, and we got some free tickets, but I'm not sure if it's appropriate for her or not. Help, please.
You know, when you hear stuff like that, it always makes me remember that there are parents and authority figures in the world that, like, their kid said once, like, when Guy Fieri was on TV and their mother was like, don't you like this guy? And he was like, oh, yeah, no, he's great, whatever. And then went back to, like, reading their book, and their mother just clicks in their head, huge Guy Fieri fan.
This lady loves Guy Fieri.
Got it. I'll remember that for next Christmas.
Is the show...
Guy Fieri tickets.
Is the Guy Fieri road show appropriate for younger audiences? Is it TV PG?
If you leave at intermission, you're fine.
Because after intermission,
it starts to get a little not safe for work.
He starts. He's like, all right, is all the kids gone? All right, fuck nuts. Let's cook some food that's going to make you come.
Before I make these spare ribs, let me get my balls out. And yes, they are bleach blonde and spiky.
This is a great... time to remind parents that you have got to be cautious about exposing your children to Guy Fieri.
Mm-hmm.
As they're too young, they can't process it. They think they're having fun, and they could get addicted.
Mm-hmm. You walk in on you think this is a good like thing for your kid to be into when he or she is a little kid, but then when he's 14, his first day of high school, and he's wearing a visor, that one's on you. That visor is on you. I mean, it's on your kid, but morally, it's on you.
So I went looking for some more information about Guy Fieri's roadshow, trying to get a concrete answer, you know, mm-hmm. to the question. And I stumbled on Guy Fieri's Twitter account. Would anyone be interested in what he's been cooking up there on his Twitter feed?
Is it covered in cracklins and bacon butter?
Cooking it up big time for new season of Guy's Big Bite. You're gonna dig it. Okay, that's pretty
I feel like I ate that sentence.
Wait, Justin, could you say that again, but like he's sad about it?
Cooking it up big time for a new season of Guy's Big Bite. You're gonna dig it.
just hit Bentonville, Arkansas for a big Walmart meeting about Guy Fieri sausages.
God, I swear
at a killer hotel.
I swear to God, when you're doing that, maybe it's the impression or maybe it's the words that you're saying. He has said big several times in both these tweets. All I'm hearing is just consonants is all I'm hearing from you.
Big. You know, it's funny. There's a thing that happens in the human brain where you can like leave out every like fourth letter, and people will still read it the same way. No. I think maybe that's just how Guy Fieri communicates with the world as a whole, and we just as a people have been filling in the blanks. And it's a cry for help.
Sure.
Some friends of mine found my salsas in Roatan, Honduras. Dig it.
Yes. Is that a tweet?
That's a tweet.
Does he have a secret stash of salsas in Roatan?
I don't think there's salsas that belong to him. I think they're salsas that he made.
They found my salsas and I had to kill them. My secret salsa stockpile.
Apparently, so Yahoo Answers user Lana answers, it's supposed to be family friendly, but there are reports of body jokes and innuendos more from the Flair bartender than from Guy Fieri. Bup, 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 bup. This just in. There are reports of body jokes and innuendos coming from the Guy Fieri roadshow.
Strike team, assemble.
It's supposed to be family friendly, but there's a little bit of body.
Film at 11.
Freedom ain't free to all veterans, past, present, and future. Thanks for your service.
What? That one wasn't really about food as much.
I thought he said something about Fritos in the beginning.
Fritos ain't free. Come buy me some.
I'm so sad.
Stoked to see my new line of sausages at Walmart. Check out the four killer flavors. And then there's a picture of him with ZZ Top and the guys from Duck Dynasty.
Perfect.
Perfection. I'm noticing lately I'm incredibly sensitive and insulted / hurt easily. For one instance, I have a friend who greets me by saying, fuck you. And while I know he's joking, it still makes me feel
pretty good. Hey, great joke.
Pretty good joke.
Solid goof. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
It worked on us, but we thought that Grammy thing was funny. Also, if I go to Jack in the Box and the girls at the window don't greet me with a smile, I feel personally responsible. How do I grow thicker skin? And that's Gabriel.
The first one
Gabriel,
is like,
you're here just in time.
No, nobody owes you a smile. Like, you need to get over the idea that people owe you smiles.
Also, you know no one at Jack in the Box is ever happy to see someone roll. If anything, they're disappointed in you.
They have to paint that smile on the Jack in the Box mascot every day because just the fumes from the fryers just like peel it off. That is how sad that restaurant wants you to be.
Oh, Gabriel, you have got to start loving yourself a little more. You have got to start having a little more time, a little more consideration, a little more energy put into Project Gabriel. Which sounds sweet now that I say it.
I mean, it sounds like you're saying he needs to have more frequent jerk sessions.
No, I don't mean frequent jerk
sessions. Find the time for Gabriel time.
Make the time every day at noon 15.
At noon.
I don't see how the first time your friend says, fuck you, if it bothers you, you tell him. If it doesn't bother you so much and you want to stay friends with him, you tell him, fuck you back.
Just let that one ride. And that seems like a situation that will sort of sort itself out. Because you get pulled over by a cop, like, oh, fuck you, officer. What do you need? License, registration? All right, let me get that for you. Fuck you real quick. All right, here you go.
Gabriel, right now you have what's called an external locus of control. You're handing over everything about your demeanor and your mindset. You're putting it in the hands of other people. And I guarantee you when you do that, it is always it is never going to pan out because the world's never going to care as much about your own feelings as you do. You have got to take time and build your self-confidence a little bit. Think about all the things that are great about you because I know there are many places you excel. And then once you've done that, start focusing on how you can make other people's days brighter rather than how those people are making you feel. Because I guarantee you, once you start putting energy into that, it is going to come back on you several fold. That's the only way to go through it. Otherwise, you're like a beautiful plastic bag floating through the air whimsically, just hoping no one, you know, films you. sells it to Sam Mendes to use in his movie. You don't want that.
No.
Let me throw this out. Maybe you snap.
Okay.
And your friend's like, fuck you. Be like, no, fuck you. And smack him in the face. And when the girls at the Dragon Box don't smile at you, you walk inside and go, why didn't you smile at me?
Why didn't you smile at me?
Hey.
Are you not happy to give me burgers?
Why
not? And tacos? Listen, you work at a restaurant where I could get burgers and tacos in the same box. Like, how does the farcical...
all day. Be happy.
The farce of that should make you so happy.
I'm just saying, turn it into like a Nicolas Cage movie.
Have you not seen your own commercials? They're hilarious.
I don't get to see those because we don't have any Jack in the Boxes here.
Okay. If you want, I can like DVR them. And
can you DVR them?
I can just subscribe them to you on the show.
Can you just tape them, Trav, and then like get a whole tape together of them and then just mail them the tape?
Jack in the Box sells a dinner box because everything does come in boxes there. True to name. That is like, I think it's even called like the 4 a.m. box, and it is for mega chiefers. It is for people that have been sucking down the saltiest spliffs, and they do not hide it in the commercials for it. It's basically like two dudes sitting on a couch just like taking a bong hit and then like blowing the smoke into their 4 a.m. box and then just like drinking down a taco.
Now, I've not seen these ads. I'm assuming you're exaggerating a little bit, but...
They definitely do the bong rips.
And at one point, the dude takes off the giant white ball hat, you know, Jack in the Box helmet thing, and just smoke pours out of the bottom.
Just pours out of it.
It's been Snoop the whole time.
Yeah.
He is not as into marijuana as he once was. It's part of his reform. Part of his reformation.
I didn't know this. Thank you for the update.
Yeah,
Gabriel, you're great. You have great taste in podcasts. I know that. You have a cool name. There's that. There's lots of other good stuff about you. Focus on that stuff and don't worry so much about how other people are making you feel. And stop with the Jack in the Box thing. That's just nutty.
Yeah.
Those people have to work at Jack in the Box, and every time you see them, they know they're about to hurt you with food. Like, that's a double thing that they have to overcome. You have to be a little more generous.
They should be awash with the regret.
Yeah, I'm so sorry about
this. I'm sorry about this. If it were up to me, I wouldn't hand this to you. I care about you.
Hey, how about a Yahoo? This Yahoo was sent in by Amanda Thatcher. Thanks, Amanda. It's by Yahoo Answers user Jesse, who asks, how to make your own hot dog? How do I make my own hot dog? I would like to make a beef hot dog that is 9 feet long and try to eat it in one sitting. Also, I need instructions on how to make a 9 foot long bun also. Any suggestion, fellow hot dog lovers?
All right.
You're gonna have human centipede it.
You're going to have to take a mulligan on the bun. You are not going to be able to make a 9 feet bun. You're going to have to make a long, long, long hot dog and then put several buns on it. There's no way around.
Or okay, get a
bun, step one. Go to Subway and buy 9 foot long, just the bread.
That would be so fucking gross, Travis. Think about what you're saying. Think about how big and robust those delicious Subway rolls are.
Uh-huh.
And then imagine, like, a tiny little wiener.
Ooh. Well, I really just want to see the look on the people at Subway's face when you go, I would like 9 of the Italian herb, please. Okay, what kind of sandwich? No, you don't understand me. I do need them cut down the middle, please.
That's a pretty good idea, Trav. I wish you could buy hot dog buns at the store.
Well, no.
No, Justin. I wish there was a place where you could get bread except for Subway.
Why did we ever give them the monopoly on bread sales?
Rachel made some banana bread yesterday, and a lawyer came to our house. Issued a cease and desist right there on the spot. Took the bread away.
Travis, you do some gross cooking. Have you ever tried to make your own hot dog? Would you ever consider making your own hot dog?
I know that there are people in this world that like make their own sausage.
Yeah,
but I know you don't want to see that.
Sausage comes from somewhere.
There is a reason we use the phrase this is how the sausage gets made. You know, yeah, you got to see how the, there's a reason why, because it grosses balls.
Like, you don't want to make your own hot dog because you have to see it. The only way to make, and listen, if you think it doesn't bother you to, like, okay, so eating hot dogs is, yeah, what it really is a test of your own mental acuity and your ability to distract yourself from facts. Mm-hmm. At the as you snap into a hot dog and you taste that juicy, beefy flavor, you are swept away by the taste. And then you think, okay, I have 5 inches or so left of this hot dog, and I'm in a race to keep from remembering how hot dogs are made and the things that are in them and the things I will never know are in them.
It's like 75% toenails, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, at least when you're doing like a bratwurst or like Italian sausage, it's like, okay, I know that that's meat. I know what that
is. I guess, Travis, you're not a part of this conversation. This is a conversation. This is a conversation for fellow hot dog lovers only. So if you're going to want to try and like go outside the box, then maybe you should excuse yourself.
It's weird that I have to realize that a hot dog is the kind of food that the bigger it is, the more disgust, like it's exponentially more disgusting. That's what
I'm saying. I'm saying 9 feet in, by 3 feet, the reality of hot dogs is going to be soaking into you from every angle. Like, your stomach will be so full of hot dog, and all you'll be able to think about is, like, that giant crazy grinder that they just throw whatever meat-related products they can find into
meat,
it.
And meat adjacent.
Just meat adjacent. Hey, Doug, do rocks have protein? I don't know. Throw it in.
We made it to 8.5 feet, and we're out. What
hey,
we
a
got?
Pig! Hey, a pig looked at this chair. Yeah, throw that chair right in the grinder.
Hand me that stack of invoices.
I did not know you guys were so cavalier about hating hot dogs.
I don't. What I'm saying, Griffin, is that some things you have to just eat them and not think about it too much. It's about distraction, and I'm saying you're going to lose the distraction game if you are eating 9 feet of hot dogs.
Unless you're fucking Kobayashi.
Okay.
That dude could drain a niner in, I would say, probably 80 seconds.
It's like you walk back in your kitchen and like, where's that 9 foot hot dog I made for myself?
Oh. I literally just made it. It
and
took
you
me
look
a
over
week.
And Kobayashi is just like burping. He's like, I didn't even know what I was doing.
Do you think, because it's so long, there's no table that can fit it, and he'd have to put it on the ground, and then he'd also have to lay on the ground, and it would look kind of like Pac-Man, just like waka 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 waka.
It would look like he's doing the worm.
Don't you think it would be cool if there's a 9 foot hot dog, and one end was Scooby-Doo, and the other end was Shaggy, and they like ate it?
Oh, and you put like a dab of ketchup right in the center,
yeah,
and it's you race to the ketchup.
Yeah.
And then they kind of kissed, and they're like, whoa, that was an accident, but then they kind of liked it.
Do you want to do it again?
Yeah, and then they just kind of keep kissing, and then Fred's there, and he's like, you guys keep going,
watching.
And I'll just snap some
pics. I got a Scooby snack for you, and then he does touch himself.
There is no way you're going to be able to transport a 9 foot long hot dog and have it maintain structural integrity without several people having their hands on it. Like, no question, right?
You can buy 10 foot PVC pipe at Home Depot, so you just need to construct some kind of tubular carrying device.
You know what you need? You know what you need? It's a coffin. It's just a big coffin, and you lay the big hot dog down in it, and then you can dress it. It'll be like one of those little paper trays that they give you at the ballpark with the hot dog, but it's giant, and then you can go ahead and eat it, and then you just lie right down in it.
Because then you're done.
Because then you're done. That's your last accomplishment.
Yeah.
You're inducing the end of your life. But hey, what a way to go. You know what I mean?
How come Kevorkian never thought of jamming a 9 foot hot dog?
And the headstone just says, I can't believe I ate the whole thing and then died.
It is your right, I believe, to end your life however you see fit. And in your case, I believe the best approach would be to slam one of these juicy ballpark franks.
Not just one, a niner.
A niner.
Listen.
I know a guy.
He can make you a niner. All you do is drain it, do it fast enough, and the pain is over.
Well, the pain, to be honest, the pain is just beginning. But your death will soon follow, so it won't be like a huge deal.
You're at foot six, like, doc, I don't know if I can do it. Like, you gotta push through, baby.
Sweet release on the other end.
And he's saying, do it, Adam, from Man vs. Food. Do it.
This week on the series finale of Man vs. Food and also Adam. It's Adam's finale of the series of his life.
And today, food won.
Let's get the money set. Everybody's heard of Hulu.com. Hulu.com is a staple. It's probably everybody's homepage at this point.
Yeah.
But Hulu Plus is beyond that. It's beyond Hulu.com. If there was something better, if it was Hulu 2, the sequel to Hulu.com, Hulu.com, it would be Hulu Plus. You can watch thousands of shows all from your living room with or on your smartphone or your tablet. They got movies too, and there's like tons of shows like SNL, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Shark Tank. Man, I love Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Do you guys love Shark Tank? I know we talk about it sometimes, but ooh, love Shark Tank.
It's too intimidating. I like watching snake oil salesmen just get like fucking schooled.
Oh man, Mark Cuban really took down that guy who was selling a diet pill.
Yeah.
Oof. They've also got Lost, Law & Order, SVU, Doctor Who, Community. There's so many things, and there's like, new shows that they
There's original shows that you can't watch anywhere else, like The Wrong Mans and Behind the Mask, which is a documentary series about mascots. Super fascinating.
It's $8 a month, but you're not going to pay that here. This is my brother and me. For those first 2 weeks, you're not going to pay $8, you're not going to pay $7, and you're not even going to pay $6 like you may all be thinking.
But they're also not going to pay you money. It just balances out in the middle.
Okay, listen. We're going to be straight up with you. There's a lot of numbers you're not going to pay. There's there's so many numbers, and you're not going to pay
$7.50? No. $7.51? No. $7.49?
Stop.
No.
Yes, stop wasting our time.
Guys, what I'm prepared to offer you, I'm a representative of Hulu.com, I'm prepared to offer you, if it's acceptable for those first 2 weeks, the price of $2 for the first 2 weeks. What do you think? Huh, audience? How's that sound? $2 a week?
That's unacceptable. No! Lower!
Not good enough. Okay. Gosh, I don't know. I'm going to get in trouble with this.
Can you just say the price of the thing?
Office.
We've just been doing this for so... Just free. It's
can we
free,
also
it's
have,
free.
Can we also get some, like, rope and maybe some kind of, like, knife and sharpening device?
Yes, I'll give you a knife sharpener and the car wax and HuluPlus.com for the first 2 weeks for free. Just go to HuluPlus.com/mybrother and get that free trial.
I guess a little editor's note, they won't give you rope and car wax.
Probably not.
Well, I mean, ask.
Travis, were you trying to think of like one of the add-on gadgets that they'd give away on Amazing Discoveries and you came up with rope?
There was always rope. It was always like, and we'll throw in this like clothesline. I shit you not, I'm not. It was like every episode. And we'll throw in this rope. More! Well, obviously more.
Going on way too long in that Hulu Plus ad sure made me hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody have any solutions for that?
You could eat something.
Can I recommend a 9-foot hot dog?
Okay, I don't need all those. All that stuff in there. All the, like, CBC and DMT and
PVP
and DMX
JTT. Hey, Jeff, I don't need to eat a hot dog made of Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Thank you for offering, Jonathan, a hot dog made from your body. You are the giving tree of humans, but I am not interested. What I am interested in is that Nature Box. Listen, Jesse, you said you're going to lose weight this new year. Let me tell you straight up, you've been doing a pretty shitty job of it so far.
Okay.
I don't care if you have actually lost weight. You can do it better by eating healthier food. So instead of going to that vending machine, pressing that J5 to get like a pack of Starburst, and that's lunch, you can snack smarter with Nature Box. It's a box that gets delivered to you, filled with great tasting and healthy snacks. Sent right to your door.
So when you say healthy snacks, you mean like that, like a celery wrapped in carrots?
No, yes. Yeah, that's exactly what it's a celery wearing a carrot bow tie. No, how about French toast granola?
Yum.
How about a salted caramel pretzel pop? Every word that I just said in those four words, salted, yes. Caramel, mm-hmm. Pretzel, sure. Pops, my favorite food delivery form. Dark cocoa almonds, whatever. They have them, and they will fill you up in your guts, and they will leave you satisfied and healthy.
Go well, they probably really screw you on the shipping, though, right?
Oh, God, Travis. Did you read the fucking talking points?
I can't read.
It's free shipping. Because you know why? Nature's free shipping. If an acorn falls out of a tree, the tree's not like, that'll be $1.99 for express post.
It's 50% off right now. That's the best part. You can use the coupon code MYBROTHER. That's naturebox.com. Promo code MYBROTHER. Go snack smarter and 20 forward. Get a handle on your hunger and your health. One more time. Naturebox.com. Promo code MYBROTHER.
Real quick, I want you guys to visit. This is a website, so get your typing fingers ready. NotARealJob.com. Or notarealjob.com/iTunes if you want to subscribe via iTunes. It's a marketing podcast. It's better than all the other shitty marketing podcasts that's out there because it's actually fun and funny and useful. The hosts, who they have noted are huge Bim Bam fans, are Chris Van Patten and Joel Kelly, and they answer questions and just shout advice. Watch it, guys. About digital marketing and small businesses and writing and productivity and all kinds of good stuff about running a biz.
It's funny. It's insightful. Not a Real Job is your new favorite marketing podcast. So if you're like, how do I sell myself? Mm-hmm. How do I get out
how
there?
How do I turn my body into hot dogs?
How do I improve my brand? You can go to notarealjob.com/iTunes. So subscribe.
I'm Barbara Gray, and I'm weird for beards.
I'm Tess Barker, and I have good tastes and bad ideas.
I'm Brandy Posey, and I've been dead the whole time.
We're Lady to Lady, a new podcast on Maximum Fun. It's the three of us girls, a fourth girl that we invite to come hang out with us, and sometimes characters that drop in. We're weird, we're fun, we're here, we're queer.
We're here.
We're weird. We're fun. We're here. We're queer. We're here.
We like beer. You can find us on iTunes or MaximumFun.org. See you soon.
And this next message is for Brent. I'm going to go with Tigalar here.
Tigalar.
And it's from Allison. And Allison says, happy 30th birthday, sweet cans. Yikes. Love you more than pickles. Which... It's pretty huge. I mean, if Allison likes pickles. If Allison does not like pickles, this is in no way flattering.
I'm just not okay with her sort of objectifying his body. What are...
No, he's into canning.
Oh, maybe that's it.
He cans a lot of his own, like, fruits. He makes sweet cans.
Cans are like breasts, right?
No, it's buttocks. It's buttocks.
Is it?
I thought so.
See, that's the thing. I think it's like a blanket term that can mean anything that you find good.
Sweet can. Cans is like your butt, your individual butt cheeks.
The only way Griffin would be comfortable with objectifying Brent is if the object she's turning him into is a hot dog.
Right.
He seems very big on that right
and
now.
If the person is specifically Jonathan Taylor Thomas, whose waxy skin is really capable of casing in those meats and like really keeping them there. 9 feet long, you got to worry about like structural issues. JTT's tallowy, stretchy skin will just wrap right around there, and that is a crispy bite.
So happy birthday, Brent. It's all downhill.
I mean, it's not bad skin. It's just like...
I recently got married.
It's some solid skin, you know what I mean? He's a very shiny individual.
I recently got married, and I hoped that the two newlywed McElroys and one veteran can help me out. I am having trouble getting used to my wedding ring. It starts off fine, but after 15 minutes, it drives me crazy. I've never worn rings or watches before. This is a new thing for me. Please, how do I get used to this permanent addition to my hand? That's from David. David, here's a story. I used to be just like you. I would take off my ring to sleep because it drove me crazy. I would take off my ring to shower because, I don't know, it seemed like the thing to do. And when I was on my
take off my ring to cruise chicks.
I would definitely take off my ring to cruise babes. I left my ring on the toilet, and this is when I was on my honeymoon. I left my ring on the toilet, and then my wife and I were walking around London. She said, "Do you feel like you've forgot anything?" And I said, "No." And then she had my wedding ring, and I thought, "Well, I cannot be trusted to take this thing off, so I'm just going to have to lump it." and I don't know how long it took, just a few weeks, but it feels pretty natural now.
Did you take your ring off to sleep in case, like, you had, like, a dream fantasy where, like, you had sex with the cartoon MC Scat Cat, and it'd be adultery otherwise? So you sort of take the ring off for protection?
I'm just a tremendous honey that needs specific sleep conditions that even the slightest temperature variation,
it was the proverbial pee under your mattress.
You're not that far off. But anyway, now I never take it off, and I'm completely used to it.
I have to take off my wedding ring when I work for the horrifying phenomenon known as gloving that can happen when working with machinery and construction, where something catches your ring and then tears the skin off of your finger in one whole piece like a glove.
Danny Glover comes in and bites your finger off if you're working around large pieces of machinery, because he is very scared of those. For me, it gets in the way of my gaming time, because I need to be pretty dexterous with these digits. If I'm playing in the competitive StarCraft circuit, my APM, that's actions per minute, really do diminish if I have this big clunky. It's basically a handcuff for your finger, and I just find it really hard to stay at the top of the ladder.
Are you guys used to wearing rings by now? Travis, you've worn rings, I think, from time to time before, but Griffin, are you pretty comfortable with it?
One time I bought a ring that was just like a little like tribal fire thing. I did buy that at Hot Topic, and I wore that, I think, actually on my wedding ring finger, so that actually sort of eased me into this process. I don't think I ever bought anything at Hot Topic I'm proud of now.
You seem pretty proud of it in that story. Like, you didn't shy away from it at all.
I bought a sweet tribal fire ring that I wore with... I know you're wondering, Griffin, did you wear this at the same time as the goggles that you also bought from Hot Topic? And the answer to this is yes. Yes, because there's no such thing as too much look.
Don't let the fashion police convince you that there's such a thing as too much look. It's a lie.
I probably would be more used to wearing my wedding ring if I would remember to put it back on. Because I have to take it off when I go on stage for Hamlet, because my character is not married. And at this point, I have three wedding rings because I am prone to losing things. So I have three separate ones, and I have left all of them at the theater.
Perfect.
Yeah, so I'm really nailing it on this whole ring game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So far, to sum up our advice from Justin, like it or lump it. From Griffin, go back in time, buy a ring at Hot Topic and wear it. From Travis, screw it.
As long as no one notices.
Yeah.
Can you wear all three rings, Trav?
What?
Just turn your finger in like a big roll of lifesavers?
You could... What if you just tattooed a ring on your finger?
I love that.
That's really romantic. Sure there are people that do that.
Isn't it weird how if you wear one ring, it salts your game? But if you wear many rings, your mystery and the pickup artist, and you're great, your game is great again.
Mm-hmm. Seems really weird. Are you suggesting that mystery has great game?
What I'm saying to you is,
what game is he good at? I'll tell you what game he's bad at: StarCraft. Because you really need to. You really need to.
Your APMs.
Have light hands.
I just moved out 2 months ago with a new roommate, a friend of mine, not a stranger, and things are going great. He's a tidy dude who spends a lot of nights out of the apartment, but when we do cross paths, our interactions are totally pleasant. A few months before we moved in together, I started dating someone, and things have rapidly gotten serious between us. Although I think it's a big step to take after 4 months, we would like to be living together. The question is, would I be a jerk if I moved out right now after my roommate and I basically finished unpacking? Or is there a certain amount of time I should wait before I bail? We have a 1-year lease, but I don't think it'll be hard to find someone to take it over. What is the best way to bring up that I suddenly want to move out so he doesn't think I'm a flake forever? That's from a mover, not a shaker.
You've already answered your question, and the appropriate amount of time to wait is 1 year till the lease is over.
I feel like it's fine I feel like you have to tell your friend that, like, hey, I'm about to do something rash, but it's not going to be so rash that I'm not going to give you time to handle it. Can you try to find another roommate? Like, I don't...
I'm a fuck you. That's just how it is. Like,
That's just how it is.
I'm a fuck you
heart.
Right
I'm
now.
I'm a fuck you right now. But I can fuck you less.
You
it's gonna suck
can
for
lighten
you.
The load. You can lessen the burden.
You tell me if I'm being a butthole.
Okay.
Okay.
I think
probably that, yes, you are.
Yeah. Okay. Great. I complete. Listen, Teresa and I moved in together after 4 months because both of our leases were ending, and it was either that or like get two, you know, separate apartments and then spend the whole time at each other's houses. So I don't know that it's necessarily about the time so much as it is the inconvenience to me of like I completely get wanting to, but there's no impetus to do it that quickly. So why not plan on doing that and then do it when your lease is up?
That you seems know, like to me that makes perfect sense.
How is that I mean, even butthole-y at all?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Is like you want to do it, great. So plan on doing it, and then do it when your lease is up. Like it, if you feel that you have to rush it so fast, that's you know, there's no need to rush it. If
you're
it's true love
rushing,
and it means
like,
something, then
you're
wait.
Also rushing a great part of the dating process. I mean, yeah.
The terrifying indecision where yeah. you think you want to move in with a person, but you think about like. The first time you walk in on them pooping and what that is going to do to your whole dynamic.
Well, Teresa and I have lived together for 4.5 years now and we're married and that still has not happened because we are very careful.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
There's a, whole, a whole airlock system we have you move through the rooms and you call out from room to room. I'm 10 feet away. I'm 5 feet away.
We have a system of bells. It's basically a handbell like you would use in a handbell choir, and while you're pooping, you have to constantly be ringing it.
My wife has never done that, so I don't know. It's not a problem for us.
That is true. That is a weird medical condition that Sydney has, which she does not number two.
She has reminded me of frequently. I mean, you really, if you look at all the facts, this isn't like you can't be with this person.
No.
Like, if this was a grand act of romance where you had to break your lease to follow a person across the country, I think it would be rash but necessary. Right now, what you're doing is just... It's rash and it could be hurtful and it would be really hard to walk back if it doesn't pan out. After like another 8 months, assuming you started dating when your lease began, it's kind of hard to figure that out. I think you're in a good situation. Like
you need
run
to
with it.
Appreciate this unicorn that you've ensnared in the
right.
form of a roommate that is not just an absolute shithead.
Yeah. Also, scientifically speaking, or rather statistically speaking, by month six of living with this roommate, it is undeniable that you would do anything to fuck them. Like, you things are going good now. I'm really happy to hear it. You will hate this person.
Oh, okay. And so when you said fuck them.
No, I mean... You will hate this person in 2 months, guaranteed, no question about it. No one has ever lived with someone that they weren't, like, dating or married to that has not wanted the other person to in some small way, die. So, if you just wait, then you're going to be able to move out and feel great about it. But right now, you're going to carry a lot of guilt. You have to let this thing run its terrible, terrible course.
And let me throw this out. Your boyfriend's probably going to be over at your place most nights anyways. You know, it's not like you're not going to see each other. So I would say just after a while, maybe after like 6 or 8 months, you're not going to notice the difference anyways. And then your lease ends and you guys are going to move in together. 8 months is going to pass really quickly.
And then eight years and then 80 years. And then that was your life.
There is no reason to rush this relationship.
No. There is a reason to rush into this next Yahoo. This Yahoo is sent in by Gotta Catch 'Em All.
Okay, Mom.
Thank you. It's by Yahoo Answers user Janine, who asks, will I get arrested for an internet fight here? Moments ago, I got into an internet fight with someone. I'm seriously trying to apologize to this person because I seriously don't know what came over me. Will I get arrested for the fight? Because to be honest with you, I'm afraid. Like, really, I'm seriously crying my eyes out. That's how afraid and sorry I am.
What did you do?
What did you do on the internet?
What could you possibly have done that you're like, oh no, I took this too far.
Not again.
This is a bridge too far. I'm going to have to change my internet name.
I don't even think you can, like, physically harm somebody, but sometimes emotional harm. This is what's so fucked up about our legal system, right? If Travis and I are at Cheddar's and I punch Travis in the jaw, then that's assault, right? Or battery, or both.
and he can file charges, and I can go to prison for that.
Correct.
And I would.
And he would do that.
And he has.
And he has done that. And that's why
that's in the past.
I'm not allowed.
Why are you dredging this up?
I'm not allowed in any Cheddars anymore for this exact reason.
And but I'm actually legally only allowed to be in Cheddars. I'm recording from a Cheddars right now. It's the only place I'm safe from.
Travis is in Cheddars house arrest. It's the only place he's safe from my wrath. I will. If Travis leaves the Cheddars, I have an alert. He's wearing a reverse ankle bracelet that will tell me when he's left the Cheddars. I will come down on him like a fucking albatross.
Travis, luckily there's a set of tubes, underground tubes that connect all the Cheddars in America, right, so that I'm able to travel from
it's
place.
The
I'm not stuck in
it's
one
the
Cheddars.
Underground Cheddars Railroad.
It's the only thing keeping me safe.
Travis is still working out a plan to get Griffin to punch him at a Cinemark so he can see 12 Years as a Slave.
Right. Okay, so back to the story. I punched Travis in the jaw at a Cheddars, and I went to prison for that. If I tell Travis, like, hey, you're looking a little doughy, then I have done an emotional harm to Travis that I think rivals the jaw punch that I did to him. Although,
well,
I did
what are your jaw punches, certainly.
Yeah. So, but I can't go to jail for that, can I? It's assault of a different kind. I hurt him not in his jaw, but in his heart. Like, I think that's probably a prisonable offense.
So your argument is that we should begin arresting people for saying hurtful things.
Right. And because you can't punch someone through the internet, but you can tell someone they're looking a little Marlon Brando later years doughy, mm-hmm, then you should go to jail for that. Does that make sense? Am I making any sense right now?
No, I completely understand what you're saying.
But it would have to be like a separate prison, because you don't want to be the guy who rolls up to prison on the first day and somebody's like, yeah, I stabbed three dudes when I was robbing a store. What did you do? I was like, I told somebody that they were looking really tired and had crow's feet.
Yeah. You know, stabbing three dudes while robbing a store really is the perfect crime. How did that guy get busted? In the crimes per minute, like, ratio, like, you did actually pretty great there. Yeah, I stabbed three dudes while I was robbing a liquor store, and then I turned to the proprietor of the liquor store, and I said, hey, fat ass, bye. So, yeah, I'm
and
here.
And because he called him fat, he got arrested.
I got 15 years for the stabbings, another 8 for the robbery, and then I got 35 years for saying he was fat. We really need to take a look at this system.
The bad thing about this system is that, you know, it's going to be a light sentence. It's going to be a slap on the wrist, right? So the person goes in, they serve their time, but then they're allowed to call you fat whenever they want to. It's double jeopardy.
Mm.
You didn't even consider that.
I would like to see those scared straight meetings, though. You think it's fun to tell your friend that his hair looks bad today? I told my friend that once. Now I don't have hair.
Yeah.
Because the barbers are really bad in prison.
You guys think you're tough. You're just a bunch of pussies. Oh, wait, shit.
It's another six months. Well, son of a bitch.
Fuck. So, I'm so stupid. No, wait, fuck. Ah, shit. God damn it.
Listen, this has been a lot of fun, but I have talked all I'm willing to. I have helped all the people that I physically can today. I've grown weary. I've entered, by the way, as I age, I've entered now my, like, my James Brown phase where after all the advice, I'm physically and spiritually exhausted. I need someone to come put a cape on me, mm-hmm, so I can make my way off stage. Thank you to everybody tweeting about the show, like Tiffany N, Mike Ditchburn, Lee, Captain Spiffy, Sam Houston, A.K.A. Schmeards, Recovering Ninja Cat, Eli Wagner, Jared Zweiker, Tyler Matheson, Matt Milko, Fred Trunks, Justin Schmorman, Scuttlebutt, so many others. Big thank you to Tyler Crowley, who, excitingly, while we're recording this episode, just released a new episode of his Mabimbaminations.
Oh, man, sweet.
I know. Animated bits from My Brother and Me. And you can find his Twitter at Agent O'Hara. And
thanks to Megan Knott. She made the My Brother and Me cat us as cats GIF. We tweeted it a day or two ago. It's both mesmerizing and adorable. And my favorite thing about it is that my cat has little cat genitals.
You can also find, by the way, that cartoon is on YouTube. Just search for Crowtoons, C-R-O-W Tunes. There are lots of other programs you can listen to on the Maximum Fun Network, which we are a proud member of, like Jordan Jesse Goes, Stop Podcasting Yourself, Judge John Hodgman, many, many others. Oh No, Ross and Carrie.
Again, just want to thank Nature Box. Go to Nature Box. You can order some great tasting, super healthy snacks. You can smack smarter. Smack people smarter and harder in the new year. Get 50% off your first order. Just use the promo code MYBROTHER.
Thanks to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of the theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. That's the music we use.
You can find it on iTunes. You can find it on other services like iTunes, probably.
And that's going to do it for us?
Oh, and we're going to have a special guest in the next like week or two on the show. We're going to have I'm calling it a guestbert, but I think that...
I like that. I mean, it's not like phonetically perfect.
No, it's not pleasing in any way phonetically, but I like it. And this guestbert is coming on to talk. If you have any advice on
need advice,
gays or lesbians in the media, that is what they are guestbert on. So if you have any advice related questions, or just, you know, any kind of questions, really, I don't want to fence you in.
Try to include guestbert in your subject line just so we can see how you thought to spell it, because I'm kind of curious.
I am also curious about that. All right. Final Yahoo. You ready?
Yeah.
Final Yahoo.
I'm ready.
Was sent in by Zach Saldivar. Thanks, Zach. It's by Yahoo Answers user Abby, who asks, is it weird I'm really attracted to Don Henley from the Eagles?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother and Me. Kiss your dad. Square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hey guys, this is Kimberly Clark, and you need to just calm your little self down and get under the goose down with me and Jasper Red. You can catch us on MaximumFun.org, or you can hear us on iTunes. And no farting under the covers either.